CliffCentral.com.
Oh, what a great song. Love it. It's Duran Duran with Come Undone, CliffCentral.com. Friday morning. We're already at the 8th of May, in case you haven't looked at the calendar for a while. I'm joined by Leanne Moll, Bulelo Tinta, Sia Sangweni, and Fundo Tlatla this morning. As usual, we're all here for a Friday. George Meany will join us a little later as well for the Auto Central Power Pod, which is always a great time to catch up with George, learn some interesting things about the world of motoring, and more often than not, he gives us tips about our own vehicles that are just unbelievable. I mean, I'm still reeling from those tips he gave us at the beginning of lockdown. Stuff we got to do with our cars. Oh, by the way, I've decided to be civilized this morning. Mbulelo, you might want to take a picture of this. I am drinking tea from a proper bone china teacup. And I've brought the milk and I've brought a teapot and it's all very, very impressive. Yeah.
I could hear you spooning your tea earlier.
Oh, yes. No, I'm doing it properly. Very civilized. Look at this.
Lovely.
Yeah, I drink from some mug like a schmuck.
But if Mbulelo takes a picture, you must move a bit because Carl's behind you.
Oh, is he so behind me?
Yeah.
So you don't want Carl behind me?
No, we want
do?
Him.
Oh, okay.
We want him.
There we go. Let me move.
How delightful.
There you go. Oh, he's not interested anymore.
No. Carl doesn't give a shit. All right. So being Friday, I said to Sia at the start of the show this morning. You know, that part that you missed if you've just woken up now.
Oh, that great part.
I said to Sia, it is a week since our birthday, which we celebrated last week, and I actually went into the studio to do it. And then 2 weeks since we dressed up, Leanne. You had your pearls on and you were wearing formal garb.
I've still got my pearls here.
Oh, you just threw them next to the... you just decided I'm not going to need these for a while.
I've nowhere to go anyway.
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
And then you said if we do this for 2 more weeks, will be...
Well, I think maybe two and a half more weeks, but then essentially we'll have been in lockdown for 2 months, which is just insane to comprehend.
Did I say it? I don't think so. But I said, went to my colleagues during a Zoom meeting when this all started.
Yeah. You did tell us about your birthday and how
I said I would only be able to come out by my birthday on the 8th of June, and no one believed me.
Are we putting a pause on New Year's resolutions and all the plans we had for 2020?
All the plans for 2020 are gone. I mean, what a absolute fuck up of a year. Really, if you told me at the end of 2019 that this was what we had to look forward to, I wouldn't even have gone out for New Year's Eve. I would have stayed at home and cried.
It hasn't been that bad, come on.
Well, I don't know. I'm yesterday I had a very bad day, hey?
Really?
Yeah. And I'm not an emotional kind of guy, and I usually see the glass half full all the time. I was just... unmotivated. I had no desire to think about planning for the future, clients, relationships, the whole thing. I really had a terrible day yesterday.
Now you know how I feel every day.
Yeah, I mean, I have some empathy now.
I don't plan the next day.
Oh my God, ever? You that's like your every day?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh no. What, Gareth, did you just slouch around the whole day?
Well, I didn't even do... I've been busy with this... I do these projects to keep myself busy, otherwise I'll go crazy. I don't get bored. I find new things to do, and sometimes they're stupid and they will never result in anything. But I'm busy doing the floor plans of this building that I'm just... You know, I love architecture, and maybe I should have just been an architect. Maybe I'll have to become an architect after this. Who knows? Not that they're begging for architects and they'll need me, but...
At least you'll be quiet.
Yeah, I mean, and you don't need to...
I know what you're doing there, Leanne.
Yeah, thanks, Leanne. you can work on your own as an architect and you can get on with it. You can design it, you move a wall, you move a door, you kind of change the layout of something, you change the facade, you redesign the interiors, you put a staircase where there wasn't one before. I mean, I love...
And there are a whole lot of rules as well. Like,
oh, yeah.
You have to have enough space in a passage for in case there's a fire for people to run through.
Well, that's you're talking about office buildings now, because even in a house, if you don't make a passage big enough, you can't get furniture into the rooms and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's interesting to me because you also have plug points that have to go in a certain place, and you know your lighting is really important, so you have to provide for that. And then you've got details like the floors and the ceilings and the slab height and all that kind of thing, which I love. I really love this stuff. And I was just sitting there messing around with this floor plan, basically from 10 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock last night. And I did walk around a little bit during the day. You know, I walked around the garden and I kind of made sure that Carl had eaten and that sort of thing. But I didn't achieve a damn thing. And I felt really just down about everything. I think it happens to all of us, and all of us are going through it.
Like
It's weird for me because I'm not normally like that. So you say for you it's the normal day to day, but I struggled, huh? Yesterday I really struggled. Anyway, I think we'll get over it. We have to, right? We have to carry on living, and we have to make a living, and we have to do what we can in this new world that we're part of.
Yeah. You woke up, you got out of bed, you did the first thing by getting the show done. Baby steps.
Might be a good thing, Gareth.
Or, as Oprah calls it, sunrise faith.
See, people don't know this, but I'm actually paying Sia to be my therapist at the moment because he's got time on his hands. And
that's a waste of money.
So Sia's he's my guru at the moment.
Goodness me.
Leanne is so sour.
You see what I mean? He calls me sour. He says I'm an invalid when it comes to technology.
You are sour.
You just said it's a waste of time.
You're very sour today.
I've got a smile on my face, so I'm obviously enjoying it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's be slightly grateful then, I guess.
All right. Well, what's your weekend plan? Anybody doing anything exciting for the weekend?
Well, shame, it's Mother's Day on Sunday.
Oh shit! That's really
Yeah, that's really horrible.
What are we going to do?
You know what mothers are like.
You can't
want to be visited.
You can't order flowers or wine. What do you do for your mom for Mother's Day? See, are you living with your mom? What are you going to do with it?
I'm just going to make breakfast.
So some ideas that I've seen are: you can offer to do the dishes, you can offer to cook, you can give her a hug, you can give her a foot massage.
Yeah.
I know, that's pretty gross.
Well, I think at this point, just leave her alone. She'd be so grateful.
Yeah, leave her alone. That's a good one. Mom. Hey, Mom, happy Mother's Day. For your Mother's Day present, I'm going to leave you alone. Oh, thank you, Sia. Yeah. Oh, man.
I would be grateful for that.
Yeah, I suppose you could... You're going to make breakfast for her because you're staying with her, so that's a nice one. That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Having thought about it,
you're not like this mother in China.
Mm. China.
She was buried by her son.
Uh-oh. Alive?
But she wasn't dead.
She was buried alive? So I was kidding.
She was buried for 3 days. Police in northern China have charged this man with attempted murder.
Oh, Jesus.
After he allegedly buried his mother in an abandoned grave where she was found traumatized but alive after 3 days covered by loose dirt.
Wow.
That's wild.
They do not have a good relationship.
That is wild.
I'm just guessing.
No. His wife told police that her husband carried his mother away in a wheelbarrow on May the 2nd. When she failed to return 3 days later, police were informed and the man was placed in detention. Rescuers said despite the woman's ordeal, she was faintly calling for help as she was freed.
Oh, my God. That poor mother. That's when you know you've got an ungrateful child. Nine months she carried that son of a bitch.
She's 79 years old. He's 58.
Oh.
She's partially paralyzed.
Oh my
God. Not because of the ordeal, but before she's partially paralyzed.
Oh, she was a burden to him. That's why he was trying to bury her. Oh, okay. It sounds all right. Now he's not such a bad.
Excuse me.
Well, I get it now.
Excuse me.
Leanne, your mother's a bit of a burden on you at the moment.
Well, I mean, my mom is in a wheelchair, but she's hardly a burden.
are you thinking about this? Be honest.
No, you know what? She's too hilarious. She keeps us entertained.
I know.
Jeez, that is a primal euthanasia.
Yeah.
What did he think was going to happen?
He just wanted her to die.
What do you mean, Sia? You don't understand that? That basic idea that he wanted her to die?
But it's just like this story.
She was a problem. She was a big problem.
As if 2020 couldn't get crazier and weirder.
Yeah.
And listen, this is the only amount of sports that comes out of my mouth. There's a former German soccer player by the name of Hayinek Kamba.
Mm.
And he used to play in Germany, but originally he's from the DRC.
Okay.
And back in 2016, his wife said that he had gone to the DRC to visit over there and was deemed to have been in a car accident. Cut to 2020, Hayinek Kamba just walked back to Germany, was like, hey guys, here I am.
So what, he bullshitted them about the car accident?
The wife had, it's alleged that the wife had hired some people to stage this whole car accident.
Oh, wow.
And there was actual physical evidence of a car that had rolled down and whatnot. Sheesh. And clearly they thought they had beat him up to the point and disposed of his body to the point where he wouldn't survive. But 4 years later, the 33-year-old has survived and actually walked back into his old job, not even going back to his wife first.
You mean it took him 4 years to get... I mean, there's part of this you're not telling me.
Maybe he was... The details aren't yet all revealed, but in my mind, I've assumed maybe he was recovering for the past couple of years as well.
No, he was living in Germany.
In the Congo to save some money, then to go back to Germany.
In the Congo?
Oh, in the Congo.
He has been recovering in the Congo.
But right now, his wife is being accused of fraud after forging documents, including a death certificate, in order to collect on a life insurance policy.
What is up with these people who are killing their partners and their mothers and burying them alive? And oy, 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 can't people behave themselves? It's hard enough right now. COVID-19.
They have a 10-year-old daughter. How do you explain this to the kid now?
Well, you show the kid that Mindhunters that Leanne's watching, and then she'll understand everything. She'll be like, oh, okay, mom and dad just hate each other, and now one of them is a serial killer, or you know, the son and his mother in the Chinese case. Wow, that's just nice. Insane. I've never... Have you ever plotted to kill someone? I mean, that seems to me like such a lot of work. And also, if you get caught, it's really not going to go well for you.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I've hated a lot of people in my life, but
I've never hated anyone enough to want to kill them.
I've hoped someone would die, but I've never thought I would do it myself.
Someone would die. Well, that's honest.
That is honest.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah, I've definitely wished death upon people. Or, you know what's better, though? And I have done this. I've plotted how I could make someone's life a misery for their entire lives.
Oh, yeah, that I've done. That I've definitely done. Yeah.
A misery.
Les Mirables.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you just want to see people suffer. And I'm not saying I have plans.
You people are evil. I've never, ever thought that I'd like to make someone's life a misery. Ever.
You've wished cancer on people before.
Yeah, but that was as a joke on the radio because it was good for ratings. I mean, it's outrageous. Who wishes someone else cancer? I didn't mean it. I was just doing it. It's like, you know, thoughts and it's the opposite of thoughts and prayers. It doesn't do anything.
I don't think it's like horrible to really have these thoughts. It's like, I just hope your marriage doesn't work out. It's not like going to kill them, but you know, you just hope that for 15 years they have to endure a horrible partner.
Well, now I know if I feel that way about anyone in future, I'm going to Sia's house and we can plot together.
Sia's got voodoo dolls. He's told me.
You want someone with cankles and horrible feet.
bad goiter. Breath. Goiter.
See? It's not like death. So I think it's acceptable.
A goiter. That's a hell of a thing. Jesus, that's a bad place to start. Hello, ma'am. That's a nice goiter you have.
You know, when I was living in McGregor, a tiny little town in the middle of nowhere, the nearest town was Robertson.
Yeah.
And I went to Robertson and I needed four bar stools. And there was a woodcutter's shop or a carpenter's shop. Walked in there and there was this man who looked like he was about to die. He had a huge goiter. So obviously his neck was all sticking out and all skew. Looks like a duck that had broken its neck.
Sorry.
And sorry. He was sweating and very pale, and he was like short of breath.
Wow.
So I ordered the chairs and I literally thought, you know what, I'm not going to get these chairs because this man's going to die like tomorrow.
And he made it, and he made your chairs.
I got the chairs, but the shop closed down like a week later, and I'm sure it's because he died.
Oh, my God. Horrible.
Wow.
He's the closest I've ever seen anyone to death.
Wow. I'm sorry. Whoever that man was, I'm so sorry that the only tribute you'll ever get was from Leanne's disgusting description of you on the show.
Thoughts and prayers.
You made good chairs. I still got them.
Well, there's always that. You live through your art, right? what a macabre morning we're having.
Well, you know what? On to happier things.
Okay, good. Thank you. Oh.
As cute as they are, they just keep on giving.
Who?
Scientists suspect that llamas could be the answer in the search for the coronavirus treatment.
You believe that?
Well, let's see. There are scientists in Belgium who are turning to...
Llamas spit. That's exactly what Nkosazan is telling us we shouldn't do.
It's shared saliva.
You know,
but when they're actually real fun little creatures.
But when you put saliva on the paper...
On the zol.
Yeah, you must not use the saliva on the zol.
So this llama's name is Winter.
Oh.
And apparently llamas on this specific farm... Winter and 130 others produce a certain antibody that appears to effectively neutralize the coronavirus.
Oh.
And in fact, these same llamas have previously undergone studies to determine their response to the MERS virus and the SARS virus.
Well, for God's sake, don't tell Donald Trump because he'll go and tell everyone to start sucking up saliva from llamas.
Oh.
Then we're in trouble.
Their study was actually nearing its end when coronavirus popped up. So they've started it again because they believe that these viruses all bear close resemblance.
Wow. That's pretty intense.
It's this diminutive antibody, much smaller in comparison to humans, that's capable of covering the tinier pockets and crevices on the spike proteins of the coronavirus.
Pockets and crevices. What? This thing sounds so gross. I wish they would stop magnifying that coronavirus and putting it on the TV. You know, they show that blown up.
I think it looks quite cute, actually.
It is
What's
gross.
What's cute about it?
Like a little fantasy creature.
No, I think it's making people more afraid. You must never zoom in that close. Have you ever zoomed in on like a hair or an insect? Ooh. Or if you look up magnified pictures on the internet, you're going to be disgusted. There's some gross stuff going on there at that microscopic level.
I looked at
level.
My brother's wart under my microscope.
Oh, a wart. A wart.
Yeah, and it's and that was 35 years ago. Yeah. No, 30 years ago.
That was when you still carried
still
around
never...
your... You had a microscope then. You used to carry it around with you, huh?
Well, yeah. Didn't you have to do that at school?
Not at school, but
what? Zoom in on a wart.
Well, I'm not a doctor.
Chemistry and chemical stuff. Don't you zoom
no.
in?
No, chemistry.
Okay, never mind.
Everything's chemical stuff.
The worst part about a wart is that if you peel off the covering, it's actually a bunch of little hairs.
I hate that. You see what I mean? Like that's just unnecessary.
And you can move them around.
That's disgusting.
So he's taking his headphones off.
Oh, that is so gross.
Wart. I will never, ever forget that.
Ugh. Well, now none of us will. Thanks very much.
I have to share it. If it's in my head, it has to be
yours. I'd like everyone in the audience, and I'm going to get to these messages. Thank you very much. The llama is going to cure COVID, but we'll give Leanne conjunctivitis, just like that homeless man. If you want to know what Woody's talking about, you can listen to the first hour where Leanne had a homeless man cough in her eye once and got the grossest conjunctivitis ever. So thank you, Woody. Then we got this from Ruth. Ruth has sent me a very cool T-shirt that someone was spotted wearing. I don't need sex. The government fucks me every day. That's cute.
Wow.
I'd like to have that T-shirt. That's nice.
Cute.
And then, lots of people agreeing with me. Graham says that fuck up of the year is the understatement of the century. Gareth, please watch these conspiracy theory videos when you have some time. Have you guys seen the Plandemic one?
I would try to. Oh, I was going to watch it, and then I saw people saying that the video has been pulled down. So I thought, okay.
You know what? I'm all up for these conspiracy theories now. Totally, I'm in. If you want to send me, don't send me them because I've seen them all. But I'm buying into these things now. I'm starting to think there's stuff going on that we don't know about.
How far are you going, David Icke?
Sure. Didn't they ban him from Google?
YouTube
or something.
Maybe, probably.
I think they did.
It's all owned by the same people.
Yeah, so I think YouTube banned David Icke because he's the guy who, he's got all these weird theories, like he thinks there are reptiles living among us who are actually controlling things and, you know, the secret society and the Illuminati and all that stuff. But then his take on coronavirus is kind of credible if you listen to him. It really is.
What does he say?
Well, he says it's a plot by, you know, the people who control the world. To keep control of the world, because people are becoming more free, and as a result, they're starting to understand that the way it works isn't the way that their lives work, and and just watch it. I mean, I'm not going to paraphrase the guy, but it's available for you to see. Pretty wild.
Yeah.
And I would like to see the video where Jasmine broke her machine. That is from Riet in Cape Town.
The actual point where the fuck machine snapped.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I'd like to see her have to go to the emergency room and explain why she has this half a meter piece of machinery lodged inside of her.
How does her mum explain it to the pastor on Sundays? That, you know, pastor, my daughter had to go to the hospital on Tuesday.
No, you don't have to worry about that in Mbulelo, because most porn stars do not have a good relationship with their parents, and their parents don't talk about them to anyone.
Yeah, their mothers are dead to them.
Yes.
Ah, yeah.
That's right. Okay, I want to get to two people who are doing amazing things. Now, I mean, I love their stuff. I actually got, I think, two pairs of this Granadilla swimwear, which I absolutely love. It's got the little, you know, prints of all kinds of things, pineapples, and you've got ice creams and all. It's just beautiful, and the colors are amazing. And I mean, I hope one day we all get to swim again so that we can wear this stuff.
But
Joshua Meltz and Adam Duxbury are on the line, and we're going to chat to them because they're doing amazing things. As entrepreneurs, they need to be agile, just like the rest of us, and create a business model that not only survives but thrives. And that obviously has become important to everybody. And I suppose we could learn from these two, because what they did is they started Granadilla Swimwear back in 2014, right, guys?
Yep, 2014, 2015, that was the first summer season. Good morning, Gareth. Good
morning, morning. And then obviously what's happening at the moment has prompted you to do something very different with Granadilla. You've got Granadilla Eats, which is a fresh food delivery service. Explain to me how this works. This is brilliant, by the way, because people need this.
Joshua, you're on mute, just to let you know.
Absolutely. No, Gareth, super simple. Basically what we do is we work with exclusively small business on our online platform. And you're welcome to just pop over to the original Granadilla Swim website, and you can shop anything from carrots to cabbage, pantry items like jars of marmalade to Woodstock sourdough bread, and we deliver exclusively in Cape Town the very next day.
Okay, so not in the rest of the country, just in Cape Town.
Just for the meantime, yeah. We focus a lot on fresh produce. That was our original relationship was with the local farm. Mm-hmm. And so getting that much further than Cape Town isn't really feasible.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I'm jealous because I don't live in Cape Town, but that's a terrific idea. And I just think it's so cool that you guys were able to take a swimwear brand, essentially, and turn it into something that helps people with their immediate needs right now. And obviously you're helping a local supplier, producer, farmer, and maybe more than just one or two, which is terrific. So you're getting the economy going at that level. There hasn't been any problem with level four. You're able to do this at level four?
Yeah, we were also able to do this through the lockdown with the essential services permit. But obviously, we weren't allowed to deliver any swimwear during that time. We're exclusively allowed to deliver food, which is an essential good.
And how's it been going? I mean, have you seen a lot of take up from people? Are they keen to do this?
It's been unreal, Gareth. You know, we're just passing the 2,000 deliveries mark, and we've been operating for just over a month. So it's a huge milestone for us. We're super stoked. The feedback has been very positive, both from the supplier and customer side. And yeah, we went from delivering just plain fruits and veg boxes, which you couldn't decide what was in, mm-hmm. to now having over 200 products on the site. And we're growing every day. We're very dedicated for this. It is ultimately our new baby.
I love it. This makes me want to move to Cape Town. Seriously.
The one thing Adam didn't mention, which is pretty cool, is that
Joshua, I'm so glad we can hear you, because when Leanne said you were on mute, I thought she meant you were a mute, like you can't talk.
No, in the morning I don't talk that well.
What
but
a relief.
I am there and I'm not mute.
Okay, so go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Carry on, Josh.
The one thing Adam didn't mention, which is super cool, is that we've got 40 suppliers on board, and all of them are small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in a time like this, supporting these small businesses and providing a platform to help them recoup some of their revenues is, I mean, it's really the meaning behind this whole thing. It's giving us the drive to keep, you know.
How did you find them?
A lot of them actually found us, to be honest. We when we launched with just the fresh produce, we obviously had our Groundilla Swim Instagram page going.
Mm-hmm.
And because that had quite a lot of traction and people saw that we were supporting small businesses, we actually were just inundated with requests. There's one really cool story. There's a farm in Philippi, which is an area just outside of Cape Town, that had basically lost all of its business because it supplied the restaurant trade. And what happened is that they put a post on Facebook saying, hey, we've got like 2,000 heads of lettuce, and they're all going to go bad in the next 2 weeks unless someone buys them. And basically, followers started tagging us in this post, and we reached out to them, and they're now actually our main provider. We bought all the lettuce off them, and now we buy, you know, hundreds of kilos of fruit from these guys every day. It hasn't replaced their entire lost business to the restaurant trade, but it's, I think, you know, 30 or 40% of those revenues are now going back into this farm, keeping them afloat, which is really, you know, meaningful for us.
That's terrific news. I love when, despite these arduous circumstances, guys like you manage to find a niche and exploit. I mean, 2,000 deliveries is just amazing. That is so cool.
Yeah. We just launched this Mother's Day box bundle, which sold out a minute ago.
Oh, man.
We ordered 250 of them but just before the weekend, and they sold out this morning. So yeah, it is fantastic. I mean, I have to say, Gareth, I'll caveat this whole thing by saying that Josh and I have got three businesses. This is our fourth. The other three are just as in dire straits, along with the rest of the three quarters of small businesses in the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're all scaled down. They're all no forecasted revenues for the next little while. And this is a glimpse of hope for us, of course, but it's not to say that all things are peachy and sunshine.
No, of course.
So it's just a bit of a reality check. We often tell this story with a lot of excitement, and there's a lot of happiness about it. And I think it's worth just mentioning that this does come with the kind of, you know, there's a reality on the other side too.
No,
have you had a growing demand for pineapples by any chance?
I haven't, Leanne.
Because people are making pineapple beer.
Totally. Like,
yeah.
Totally. Look, I think Capetonians stocked up slightly better than the Valleys, to be honest. I think somehow we just had a better forecast for how long this is going to last, because all the crazy pineapple exploding videos seem to be in Johannesburg.
Yeah, I think also you guys probably have better reserves of wine stuck away and tucked away somewhere than we do.
Absolutely.
I've got to say, and I know that this business isn't the priority at the moment because you can't deliver and you probably still, I don't know, I don't even know if you're allowed to manufacture, but the swimwear you guys came up with, how did you meet, first of all, the two of you, and how did you figure out that you'd be a good partnership, and how did the whole Granadilla swimwear come about?
It's a lovely question, Gareth. So Josh and I were buddies in high school, and we had the fortune of never actually having to study or go to school together. We were just those holiday friends.
Oh, right.
That was what our whole relationship was about. You know, we never had to be in maths class together.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew we met through a pair of mutual friends, two twins, Joss and Jake. And we had just this wonderful, fun, summer-oriented relationship. And we'd spend all summer together in Cape Town. And when we left school after a couple of years, Josh was still studying at Edinburgh University. I was working as a consultant. And we said, hey, let's make some swim shorts and put it online and do like a little online business. And we'll just like do a total side hustle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We ordered 300 pairs for the first summer season. And sold really well, sold out in a couple of weeks. And then, you know, after 2 years, it became a full-time job. I left my consulting job. Josh was fully focused by then. And that was kind of how we kicked it off. It was really just identifying a product that we were both like really passionate about, which was, you know, something not available locally, and plugging that little niche in the market. And yeah, that was the story.
So what are you allowed to do now? Are you able to manufacture? Are you put a hold on everything? Like what's the plan there?
Yeah, total hold for now. We are running a big sale online basically to generate some cash flows and get our stock levels down to the right level.
Mm-hmm.
And that sale will run, you know, for a couple more weeks. But simultaneously, we are, you know, just scaling down the business so that we can obviously negotiate some rent down and basically just bring in our costs down as low as they can so we get ourselves some runway. And when it is level three, we believe we'll be able to deliver our products that we've sold through our website. But obviously, we'll wait until we're legally allowed to do that. One benefit I must say is that Granada is a very seasonal business.
Yeah.
Had this happened in the beginning of November and we had no December sales, we frankly would not be in business. We do 70% of our revenues in the month of December. So,
oh, really? Sure.
Yeah. So
people are so stupid, huh? They just don't think, they don't think about summer when they're not in it. It's amazing. People are so dumb. Like you're never going to need swimwear again. Oh, so no, well, it's winter. I don't need it now. So I'm just not going to
swim. It's the same thing.
When you offer someone a small discount in the middle of July, it's like, where is everyone wearing the swimwear?
It's the same as heaters and air conditioners. They're on sale at the
The one thing I also wanted to add about our factory is the only thing we can produce is face masks.
Okay.
And that is something that we are going into, and hopefully we'll have some production ready of in the next week or so. Because our factory is actually up and running, and I mean, huge props to them. They've been going throughout lockdown and producing masks the whole time. So that's the only kind of silver lining to being in the manufacturing industry is we have access to these factories with fabrics and elastics and things to make protective gear.
Yeah, you would make very cool masks. I just hope that by the time you're able to do that, this whole thing's actually over. So don't invest too much money, if you don't mind.
Yeah, we'll go slowly.
All right, guys. Well, listen, I'm thrilled that you're able to pick up these new ideas and run with them and be able to effect change so quickly in your business. It's really very inspiring. And it isn't just a glimmer of light and hope for you. It gives the rest of us hope that we can also find ways to make our businesses, wherever and however we run them, just a little more agile. Well done to you both. It's really good
Thanks
to chat
guys.
To you.
Thanks, guys.
And we can go to the website to order if we're in Cape Town. What's the website?
GranadaSwim.com.
Beautiful. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Josh. Cool.
Great, guys. Cheers, guys. Good morning, and thanks to your listeners.
Yeah, sure. That's Adam Duxbury and Joshua Meltz, both joining us from Granadilla Swim. How cool is that, huh? Isn't that awesome?
Very cool. This pineapple beer is called Mamba.
Yeah, don't do it.
And if you go to Lungile's shack in Ekurhuleni.
Excuse me?
To what?
Wow, what a transition.
In what? Is this a friend of yours? Lungile's shack?
Yeah. What are you punting here, Leah?
You go to Tsakane in Ekurhuleni.
Yes.
The road's very bumpy. It's flooded.
I'm sure.
A lot of mud from the recent rains.
All right.
But she is soaring in pineapple beer trade.
Okay, good for Lungile. There we go.
Yeah, nice. She's like, all she buys every day is pineapples, oatmeal and yeast to ferment the beer. Ooh. And then she buys
I love the way we helped Granadilla Swim for people who want food deliveries in Cape Town, and now we've just helped Lungile's Shack in Sakai.
Yes.
Yeah.
So oh, but Leanne had that bullet in the chamber. Yep.
What's that?
She just couldn't wait for the Granadilla shorts guys to stop.
Mm. So she talk about it. Have you been to Lungile's Shack? You seem to know it well with the bumpy road and everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. You pay 43 Rand per 5-liter container.
Jesus.
For those who want to resell.
Uh-huh.
And then 10 Rand for 1 liter to usual customers. I mean,
if you're going to drive all the way to Tsagani, you might as well buy the 5-liter, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the more it ages, the better it is.
I heard you bought an oil barrel-sized barrel.
Yeah, the kind, I did.
The kind they sell Brent crude in.
That's the one. No one's using those barrels at the moment.
No, everyone's using those barrels to store the oil that no one's using.
This is true.
Oh, man. All right, there we go. Nice plug for Lungile's Shack in Tsakani.
Mm,
don't say we don't support small businesses on cliffcentral.com. I do love it. Oh, by the way, you know there's some funny language going on online when people describe their genitalia or like a hookup or whatever. And I just
where's this going?
No, I just saw an awesome meme that a friend of mine sent me. Jason sent this to me. He said, it's this picture of this guy and he's about to kiss this girl and they're both kind of in the state of undress. And it says, when your girl wants you to stretch her queef chapel for the first time. I just love the terminology. Her queef chapel for the first time, but she doesn't know your ham candle.
Oh, my word.
By the power of Grayskull.
Listen, she doesn't know your ham candle is so fat it has a girth certificate. Wow. Isn't that the best language? That's like modern. That is modern Shakespeare.
That is poetry, man.
That's phenomenal. Is there
any way I can just erase the past 17 seconds?
What is it? Meat steeple.
No, but I like that one too. Queef chapel and ham candle.
I'm going to stick with meat steeple. It's easier to remember.
I'm sorry, George.
Sorry, George.
From Musa to this.
That's great. What a great
Musa Friday.
I'm having such a good morning compared to yesterday. Oh, my God. All right. Let's get cracking. George Meany's here. George, I'm sorry about this revolting stuff we were talking about when you joined us, but I promise you we can be civilized. And I know you've got stuff to tell us this morning that's a lot more interesting than Leanne's meat steeple.
Well, you know, a coif just, I think that's meant for hair.
Yeah. But I said queef. I promise you that is a thing that exists.
Oh, wow.
All right, George. Okay. So it's time for the Auto Central Power Pod with George Meany, who's the CEO of Auto Trader. Every Friday we get a little update from George, and you know that's good news because it means it's a Friday.
Yeah, exactly. It's a Friday in lockdown, week number. I don't even know what anymore.
Have you gone out in your car this week at all? Have you been to the shops?
No, not this week. Previous week I did, but not this week.
It's amazing. We used to go out every day for like 3 or 4 trips in a day. You'd go to the shops, you'd go to work, you'd have an appointment with your dentist. Or now you go out once a week and you're like, wow, that was a lot. I think next week I'll stay at home.
I feel dirty when I come back. I feel like I walk through the garage and we've got this tray with some sanitizer and soapy water to just dip your shoes in and then stick them in the garage.
Wow, George, you guys are taking it super seriously. It's like a musk at your house. You have to take off your shoes.
You're like bovines clobbering through the garage.
Yeah, because don't they use that for cattle? They have like a dip that the cattle go through?
Yeah, I think, what is it for?
From getting foot and mouth disease.
Foot and mouth disease, yeah.
So at least in the Meany household, I mean, you step in a tray of bleach and then you sanitize your hands. I mean, no one's getting into your house filthy.
No, definitely not. I had a plumber here the other day because the geezer was giving trouble.
Oh, shit.
Did he have to put his trotters through the, through the grates?
Yeah. He did. And he had these dirty shoes that had like muddy stuff underneath. And I was like,
well, if it's a plumber, it's not muddy stuff. It's poop.
Yeah, it's probably human feces. So I'm glad you sanitized the guy.
Worse than the queef, whatever it was.
All right, so George, let's be serious for a second. You may not have traveled this week. It doesn't mean you're not thinking about motoring. It's part of your daily bread. How's Auto Trader doing? Are we still seeing solid numbers of people coming to the site?
We are. We've grown year on year in terms of search in April, which is amazing. Not as much as we were in previous months, but we haven't gone backwards in terms of search for April. So people are still looking for cars. And that 50,000 and below category and the 200,000 and below category are continuing to show people searching. So, and then we did another survey on our website. We try to figure out how many people are selling their cars under financial distress. And it turns out that 30% of the people wanting to sell their cars need to do so in 4 weeks. And 73% of people say that the lockdown has affected them negatively financially.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that would make a lot of sense. That percentage is high, huh?
It's very high. Mm. It's very high. So those were the people we surveyed. But there's a worse problem on the horizon.
What? Thanks, George. We were just starting to feel better. What's the worst problem on the horizon?
Rats in your car's engine bay.
No, but you told us we have to stick a rag in the exhaust, and we have to block all the air inlets. So if we've done that, no rats.
Yeah, well, leave your bonnet open because rats seem to like the warmth of your engine bay, and they think that all the wires and the cables are roots, so they gnaw on them.
Oh, no, don't tell me that. I was just starting to calm down about my car since that update you gave us where we had to roll the car back and forward 30 centimeters. Don't tell me this now. Rats are living in my... Oh, my God, rats?
Rats. But surely
when you start the engine and drive, you burn the rats in the hot engine.
Yes, so go for a drive every now and again. Good idea. Get rid of the rats. And
then you don't need one of those air freshener things because you'll have some roast special cologne wafting through your vehicle.
Roast dead rat. Oh, my God. So these things are climbing into our cars now. Oh.
Climbing into the cars, and apparently one U.S. parking lot has a rat station.
Oh. Do you know that the rats in New York are eating each other? They're actually ganging up, like gangs of rats are ganging up on other gangs of rats in New York.
Is it because there's no scraps of pizza and stuff in the streets?
Exactly. So now they're turning on each other and eating each other.
Oh,
so
my word.
An infestation in a parking garage is not a good thing.
I told you, Dawkins said the next race that will dominate is rats.
I still think you and he are wrong on that front. I think it's cockroaches.
Cockroaches.
If that happens, we're in trouble because we've done so much testing on those little critters. Ooh,
we've probably made a super rat. Somewhere in some sewer, there's like a master rat who's in charge of all the others.
There is one. He's on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, you Splinter.
Oh.
All
right.
Did you ever see that movie Mimic?
No.
Should watch the movie Mimic. I don't know whether it's pretty old, but it was good. It was a mutated cockroach that mimicked human behavior.
Oh my God. Ugh. I don't know if I want to see that. All right. Well, okay. So we're watching out for rats now. Thanks, George.
Watching for rats. And then there's another problem. Kids or toddlers for that matter seem to be very bored with this lockdown. And a 5-year-old was pulled off on a US highway on his way to buy a Lamborghini.
A 5-year-old?
Was he driving?
What a dodo.
Stole his parents' car and the police pulled him over. And when the trooper said to him, "What are you doing? How old are you?" He said, "I'm 5 and I'm going to buy a Lamborghini." And when they pulled out his wallet, he had $3 in it, which was about 55 Rand, whereas a Lamborghini costs about 5 million Rand.
Now, there's a lot of questions here, George. How does a 5-year-old reach the pedals and see over the dashboard?
This is a pretty big 5-year-old.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that generally 5-year-olds will be able to navigate with a car. I'm trying to see where I send you a message.
Bit of a mutant, this guy, is he?
Yeah.
Was Slenderman's son.
There you go. Have a look at it. He's pretty big, 5-year-old. Oh. And that's not the only problem.
Oh, he's,
though,
a,
because,
fat, he's a fat little bastard.
Oh, he is. He is, isn't he? He's quite big.
Look at this. Unbelievable. This fat little child got pulled over by Utah state troopers. Unbelievable.
State troopers pulled him. Yep.
Wow, he made it onto the off-ramp.
Yeah, well, he only went about, what, 6 kilometers or something. Jesus. And then got pulled out. 5 years old.
6 kilometers too far, though.
Exactly. But that's not the only problem. 19 kids have stolen 46 cars worth $1 million during a month-long crime spree.
Yeah, you see, we got to watch these kids, man. They're out of control. Now that they're not at school, they're starting to, their crime mind is starting to kick in.
Apparently, 19 kids, some as young as 9 years old, allegedly spent the last few weeks running around North Carolina stealing cars.
Jesus.
Like the Gone in 60 Seconds movie.
Yeah, this is unreal. This is not good. Okay.
It's the kids. It's the rats.
Mm.
And then some good news. Ferrari is now worth more than Ford and General Motors. Ferrari was one of the only companies who posted a revenue of over 1 billion rand when the expectation was 2 million US dollars, sorry, 1 billion US dollars. Mm-hmm. And they sold 5% more cars than in previous months. So somehow Ferrari's selling cars.
Well, Michelle just messaged me and said, tell George I just filled my car with petrol for the first time since March. It was the cheapest ever, 390 rand for 36 liters.
Yep, and it's coming down again. Well,
that's amazing.
Fantastic.
So, George, you must tell us when we must buy petrol, hey?
Well, after the first week of Tuesday, right now.
Right now.
After the first Tuesday of the month, first week of Tuesday. Have I gone mad?
Yeah, it's all right. We're all a little bit
mad. On a Froms day.
Yeah, Froms day at 14 o'clock. all right. So thanks, Michelle. There are lots of other messages, George, of people saying now they're petrified of rats in their engine, so you've made us all paranoid.
I'm so sorry. Warm the car's engine up. You'll either roast a rat or they'll run away.
Mm. Yeah. Don't wear slip-slops while you're driving. You wear big boots or something so you can stomp it if it runs over your toes.
Stomp the rat. Oh, that's so gross. All right, what else?
Yeah,
Chennai police are using four-wheeled remote control robots to send into red zones.
What?
The red zones in Amsterdam.
No, not the red zones in Amsterdam. Chennai. The red zones in Chennai in India.
What do they need the robots to look into the red zones for? What's a red zone and why are these things, why can't they send a car in?
So the police don't want to go in there because it is locked down and very densely populated places, and they don't want to get the coronavirus. So they're sending these little four-wheelers in into these what they call red zones, and they've called this little four-wheeler Robot Cop.
Wait, hey, Robot, that's not original.
Robot Cop is its name.
They're RoboCop for short.
I want to know.
Have they heard of that?
I want to know what these red zones are. They must be pretty awful if people won't even send in live humans. They send in robots.
Yeah. Well, this robot is real, and it's remote controlled by the police, and it's got LEDs to send messages on the front. I'll just send you a link so you can see what it looks like. Okay. It's got LEDs on the front. It's got a two-way radio system so the police can communicate through this four-wheeler robot. Looks like a little, tower on wheels, and then also if unrest happens or if people need to communicate that they need the police, they can do so through these little robot cops.
Wow!
All right.
And then electronics, believe it or not, account for 40% of your vehicle today.
Really? That's not surprising though, because everything now is electronic, and it used to be. What they put in very fancy cars, but now even the cheapest car you get mostly electronic, right? I mean the workings of the car, the things that you interact with every day are all electronic in the car.
40% of my car is chip packets and dust.
All right, so what is this, like the computer system? It's not as mechanical anymore. It's more electronic, right?
Electric and electronic. So like electric seats, infotainment systems, all the electronics that you get in your car is now it accounts for 40% of the cost of that car, whereas in 2000 it accounted for 18% of the cost of the car.
Unbelievable.
So we're getting to an age where a car is like a cell phone. It's just a big electronic device.
And
when we go to electric, that ratio is going to be much, much higher. And then I don't know if you saw Elon Musk, what he called his baby.
Yeah.
Well, have we gotten to the bottom of how to properly pronounce it?
No. I don't even know how to pronounce it. I thought you might know.
Listen, by the way, George.
All right. He's from Pretoria.
He's got a new Joe Rogan.
Guys, he's from Pretoria, and therefore I can say, having been from Pretoria too, that there are people who have terrible names for their children, like Chandralees. So I think in some ways it's an improvement. If you're from Pretoria and your kid is not called Zante Delanda, then you're probably doing all right.
So it's spelled X. And then an A and an E, which are joined. 12.
Yeah.
A.
Which is supposed 12. To be artificial intelligence of some sort.
Okay. I'm not trying to strip Elon of his credibility, but I'd think twice before listening to the man whose father has a baby with his stepdaughter. Let's just take that in for a moment.
The man whose father.
Elon Musk's father has a child with his stepdaughter.
No,
I did not know
the stepdaughter who the father has known since she was 4 years old.
Oh, that's like Woody Allen. It's exactly the same thing. Woody Allen and Sun Yi. It's exactly the same.
Elon's dad is electric.
All right. And then finally, Elon Musk wants to install video games into his Tesla cars, particularly Pokemon Go and Mario Kart. He tweeted the other day that, can anyone think of a good multiplayer Minecraft that works on Teslas or get it to work?
But now with Pokemon Go, wasn't that where people were falling into lakes and
buildings? They were looking at their phones. Yeah.
Finding reading stuff on your phone, exactly. Well, you might just drive off the road then.
He talks about it on his new Joe Rogan episode, by the way. It's out. It came out last.
Yeah, you know, Bulelo, I'd really appreciate it if you didn't plug everyone else's podcast while we're doing ours.
They must listen to ours and then that.
Radio 101 with Bulelo this morning. Yeah, go and listen to this podcast. Don't listen to ours.
You can only hear ours once, so maybe you listen to something else.
Well, guys, you know what? Fortunately for Mbulelo, the show's ending, so he can go and listen to some other show that he's not involved in producing. Great. Good move. Okay, George, thank you very much. Always good to check in with you. And just before we go, I got a message here from Chris who says he makes pineapple beer, and he showed me some pictures of it. It's fermenting in something that looks like a paraffin bottle, and then he shows me at the end after these three photos. The first photo is the pineapples in this gross looking brew, and then in this paraffin bottle, and then he's got a glass with this pineapple beer, and he says it kicks like a donkey.
What color is it? Is it brown?
Well, it's pineapple colored. No, it's pineapple. And then and then, as if that isn't enough, Leighton says he makes his own ginger beer. And he's made a fruit beer and a spiced ginger tea, which are very, very nice. So don't be scared of homemade beer, according to Leighton. Okay.
I mean, the amount of sugar that you have to put into that brew, or all of those
brews. George, no one cares about sugar when it's alcohol.
No, it's not about the sugar. It's about the freaking headache.
You know what? I'm actually longing for a hangover. I never thought I'd say that, but I can't wait for my next hangover.
I'm not with you there.
No, totally. It means that you've had a fun time the night before. That's the price you pay. All right, everybody. Have a happy weekend. Thank you, George. Thanks, everybody. And if you want to talk to us over the weekend, just because we're not live doesn't mean we're not going to listen to you. You can always message us on 0797482090. We'll get to those by Monday. And you can email us contact@cliffcentral.com if there's something that you want to discuss with us. And by the way, I want to thank at this juncture, To end the show off this week, I want to thank all those people who are clients of ours at Cliff Central and who are sponsors and who've worked with us during this lockdown, because we know it's a tough time. And you guys will be remembered not only by us but by our audience for sticking with us during this COVID-19 crisis, because I'm telling you, there are businesses folding left, right, and center, and those people who are keeping us in business and allowing us to broadcast so we can do a show for you every single day, those people are heroes. And I don't mean that in some glib way. It's a serious, serious thing. If we didn't have them, then this whole thing would collapse, and you wouldn't have the show, and we wouldn't be able to work. So thank you to everybody who's supporting us during this time, just like all the other businesses. Yeah. Thank you so much. All right, everybody. Have a happy day. We'll see you on Monday. Have a good weekend, if it means anything to you and it's different to your weekdays at the moment. And we'll catch up then. All the news, all the info, all the laughs, all the stupidity. I know you can't wait. I can't wait either. Monday morning, 6 o'clock, bright and early. Ciao. CliffCentral.com.